We're continuing our study in the Westminster Confession of Faith, and we are continuing as well to look at chapter 16, which is about good works. Let me read paragraphs 3 and 4 to you, and then discuss them. Chapter 16, section 3. Their ability to do good works is not at all of themselves, but wholly from the Spirit of Christ, and that they may be enabled thereunto, besides the graces they have already received, there is required an actual influence of the same Holy Spirit to work in them to will and to do of His good pleasure. Yet are they not hereupon to grow negligent, as if they were not bound to perform any duty, unless upon a special motion of the Holy Spirit. But they ought to be diligent in stirring up the grace of God that is in them. They who in their obedience attain to the greatest height which is possible in this life are so far from being able to supererogate as to do more than God requires, as that they fall short of much which in the duty they are bound to do. They fall short of much which in duty they are bound to do. The opening paragraphs of this chapter tell us what good works are and why they're important. Here we discuss our ability to do good works and our limitations, the extent to which we can expect to keep God's commandments. The first thing that we're told is that the ability to do good works does not come from ourselves, but wholly from the Spirit of Christ. Apart from Christ, we cannot bear good fruit. As Jesus once explained to His disciples, if we're not united to Him by His Spirit, we're like branches trying to bear fruit without being attached to the vine. If we want to walk in the Lord's statutes and be careful to obey His rules, we need the Spirit. We need God to remove our hearts of stone, to use a different metaphor, and give us each a heart of flesh. The importance of the work of the Spirit really must not be underestimated. There's nothing in us that can generate good works. We can do many things as Christians, but we need to say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. As Paul says elsewhere, it is not that we're sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. The reality is that our sufficiency is from God. Nor is it the case that the graces which we receive from Christ are themselves in some way able to generate good works. No, rather, to paraphrase Philippians 2 verse 13, we need God Himself to continually work in us, making us willing to do and then able to do what is God's good pleasure. So our work relies on the Holy Spirit's work. But that doesn't give us any room to grow negligent in keeping God's commandments. It's not as though we can ignore all of our duties unless we feel the Holy Spirit in some way prompting us to do something good. God's grace given to us in Christ must not, and in God's people cannot, be left gathering dust. We need to stir up or arouse what is sluggish in us. Elders, deacons, ministers, and also church members need to fan into flame the different gifts that God has given to us. Well, there's a sense in which we should hope to attain eternal life, to use a biblical word. So it is that Paul actually urges us to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And Jude directs his readers at one point by saying, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. We see the two brought together there. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, perhaps it's Peter who most unmistakably sets these truths beside one another. The Spirit's working and our working. It's clear in Peter's second epistle that God's divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But for this very reason, we are told, make every effort to supplement our faith and virtue and knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. We are to supplement these things. Peter says more by way of command, and he has more words of strong warning. But his basic point is that although God is working in us, we are to be diligent, he says, to make our calling and election sure. For as the apostle explains, if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to spare no efforts in doing what is good by God's grace and the work of His Spirit. But we need to remember that the Word of God also says something about our limitations. There are those who attain to great heights of obedience in this life. Take, for example, the Old Testament leader Nehemiah. He was a faithful man used by God to transform a nation for God's glory. And in the book of Nehemiah, he catalogs a number of his great achievements. But the striking thing is that after listing his good works, Nehemiah approaches the end of his book with a prayer that God would spare him according to the greatness of his steadfast love or mercy. You see, Nehemiah could not assume that he could actually satisfy God's righteous standard by all that he had done. And he did do more than most. He definitely did not assume that he could do more than God required. We cannot reach a standard where we can seriously argue our goodness before God. This is something that we can learn from almost anywhere in the Bible, whether from Nehemiah or Job or the words of Jesus. At the end of the day, at the end of every day, and at the end of many a life, God's people confess how far they have fallen short of God's glory. They may entertain a very high view of what God is doing in others. They should not be so naive as to expect that they or others, however, are actually capable of works of supererogation, works of doing more than God requires. The reality is that Christ's righteousness superabounds, and that ours does not. Of course, there are reasons for our deficiencies, and Paul takes the time to explain one of these to all Christians when he explains it to the Galatians. The fact is, he explains that even with the best of God's people, the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. The Spirit is working in us, but there is a battle going on. Christians are saved by God's grace, but they remain saved sinners. Well, the good news is that we can be led by the Spirit to a great extent, and that we can live by the Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. For Jesus reached the highest heights of obedience, the very pinnacle of good works. He obeyed His Father and laid down His life for those who fail in their duties, but who trust in the Savior. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we pray that by Your Spirit, You would help us to be more faithful to You in obeying Your commands, which are good and which are clear. We pray that You would do this so that Jesus Christ would be glorified as we become more like Him, like the One who is our Savior and our Lord and King. We pray this in His name. Amen.